anxiety and authority. These are two things we don't like very much. Anxiety and authority. One of them we're meant to be free from. One of those we're meant to be free from entirely. The other holds the key to that freedom. They're both in today's readings. The first, anxiety. Paul says, I should like you to be free of all anxieties. I should like you to be free of all anxieties. Unfortunately, anxiety is something most all of us know all too well. The excessive worry. For some people, this is a constant prison. I started reading this last week, the biography of Steve Young, who was a great quarterback back in the 1980s and 90s for the 49ers. And within it, he talks about this massive anxiety that he would always struggle with, even from a young age, and even as he was playing at the height of his career. Some Sunday mornings, they would have to come and talk him to get out of bed because he was so nervous and just filled with worry and anxiety. So it was this continuous prison for so long for him. For others, it's an occasional bout with anxiety. I remember when I was young, at my first communion mass, I had so much confidence. I was walking up there, because you know the kids do the readings. And I love seeing it every Friday morning, coming to the children's mass, and the kids come up and do the readings. My first communion, I came up, I had my little chest puffed out because I had my reading down, and I gave it with all sorts of confidence. The first time I had to read at seminary, in front of my 200 peers, I went up there. I didn't think I was nervous, but my legs started shaking. Do you ever get that where you're like, it started shaking? I was like, what the heck? I was 25 years old, and here I was 8 years old, and I was all filled with confidence. And here I am, 25, in front of all my peers who never say a mean word to you or judge you ever. And I'm shaking out of this anxiety. My mom, every now and then when I was young, would call me a worry wart. You guys have maybe been called worry warts before, too. Do you know where that word comes from, right? That worry acts like a wart. Because worry spreads the way that warts spread. But more than that, warts will form a hard shell over themselves to protect themselves. It forms a hard shell. And in order to get them out, you have to break through that shell and you have to get every last little root, every last little seed out of the wart, or it's going to come back. So someone, when they're worrying about something and another person says, stop worrying, right away your heart kind of says, you don't get it. And you kind of block them out. And your heart hardens to them a little bit. But anxiety, there are some it can be clinical, psychiatric. For most, though, it's a behavioral. But for everyone, anxiety is a distortion. It's a distortion of the things that I can change and control, and not recognizing those from the things that I cannot change and the things I cannot control. Anxiety. Second is authority. Unfortunately, where we know anxiety all too well, authority is something we really don't know all that well. Authority. In our culture, we think of authoritarianism. And so we think of authority basically bad. We're suspicious of it. Even that word, authority, there's something in our hearts which kind of holds back, hardens about it. Because nobody can tell me what to do. This is what kind of comes out from us. But authority, his authority, was the first hint for the people in the Gospels that there was something different about this man, Jesus. There was something different about them because he taught and he spoke as one having authority. And that it was with his own power that he cast out the unclean spirits. He didn't call on the power of God. Like in an exorcism today, a priest who has been given that authority from the bishop, they call on the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ and command the spirit to leave. Here is Jesus with his own word, his own power, his own authority. With the word he casts it out, quiet. Come out of him. The whole dramatic plot, and especially the Gospel of Mark, is who is this man? Who is this man who is casting out with his own word even evil spirits? The demons, though, they know who Jesus is. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Jesus says, be silent. I have come here to destroy you. Come out of him and get back to hell. Next week, he does the same thing. This gospel continues on, and he casts out more demons, but would not permit them to speak. He wouldn't let them speak. He told them to be quiet, even though they were proclaiming, this is God, I know who you are. Wouldn't that be the perfect irony? That it's the demons, God's great enemy, who proclaim he is God. They know intellectually, they're the most intelligent beings. As we know, can know intellectually too, that yes, he is God. I know that intellectually, I know that in my mind. I even can know that, yes, he is there, sacramentally, physically present there in the tabernacle. You can know all of that up here. The demons know that up here. That's important. But that alone doesn't save you. The demons had all the brain knowledge in the world. They have this, but what are they lacking? Lucifer said in his fall, I will not serve. I will not obey. You have no authority over me. It's one thing to recognize who God is, but that demands a response, which isn't a small thing. Where they're lacking is not the knowledge up here, it's the knowledge within here. A knowledge of the will, of the heart. It's the response in choosing not just to know God, but to trust him, to love him, to serve him, to obey his authority. Those of you who are here at Christmas and luckily missed my brother's masses and were here at mine, you remember the story of the birds, right? That Jesus came to be one among us to gain our trust and reveal that he is God. He tells the demons to be quiet because it's not yet time. He has to be with us to gain our trust. Because if we don't have that trust and we hear his voice, what's going to happen? Our response is going to be a hardened heart because it's going to feel like someone telling us to do something. Instead of the voice of a loving Father calling and speaking into our hearts. Trust, without that, our hearts harden. This week I was watching a video on someone giving a testimony of her time in an addiction program, one of the 12-step programs. This is apparently what I like to do in my free time. I was watching, and you know these 12-step programs, they're an incredibly, incredible thing. Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous. And she was talking about her experience in this, that she recognized at a certain point that first step, that there was something in her life that she couldn't change and she couldn't control, that she couldn't cast out this unclean spirit on her own. But then she got stuck there. Because she said, then the next two steps are about that God thing. Because that first step is recognizing your helplessness. But if that's all you recognize, it's not just a helplessness, it's a hopelessness. And she got stuck with the God thing, and she said, I was hardened to it. And so I thought, I'm going to strive and try and do all the steps, but not worry about that. But she said, again and again, she tried and tried and tried and failed. And just got hardened to it, where the point, even God, where she was going to take her own life. But finally, it was an abandonment, she said. That the second step, that there's a higher power than me, that there's a God. The humility to admit that. And then the third step, that decision to turn my whole life, to turn her whole will over to that God. To submit to his authority. The good news for us as Christians, everyone, is that this God is not just a nameless higher power or distant, but that he has the closeness of us as a father to a child. And this is why St. Paul can say that he desires us to be free of anxieties. Because we, as God's children, we share in his authority. We share in his grace, which gives us strength for the things that we really can change, where change is possible in our lives. But the wisdom as well to recognize the things that we cannot and absolutely cannot change and control in our lives. And with those things, Jesus doesn't just tell us, hey, stop worrying. Stop being a worrywart. Instead, what Jesus does is he says, give me your worries. Give them to me. And if you want to be free of all anxiety, if you want to crack through that shell and pull out every last root and seed of anxiety, then give me your whole life. Give me your whole heart, every aspect of it. Trust me with that. Because any area in our life where Jesus isn't Lord, where he doesn't have that, the roots of anxiety, they'll grow. They'll continue growing. But where he is Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The prayer which is at the heart of every 12-step program is the serenity prayer. Serenity, which is the antidote, it's the opposite of anxiety. Many of you know it. I invite you to join with me, and we'll close with that prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.